Good morning, everybody. It's Pablo Zuanich, Cannabis Equity Analyst at Zuanich & Associates. I have the pleasure of welcoming the CEO of Charlotte's Web, Bill Morachnick. Bill, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you, Pablo. Doing great.
So to our audience, thank you for joining us, right? Monday, December 22nd, last Zoom of the year. We think this is very topical, obviously, because of everything that happened last week with executive order. From my point of view, a lot of the news around medical cannabis we had expected, we had known. I would say on the CBD side, there were a lot of new elements that came through from the executive order as well as from the discussions there in the Oval Office. And of course, it's been positive for CBD as a sector, and obviously good news for the stock of Charlotte's Web also, right? Ticker CWEB in the Toronto Stock Exchange and OTC in the US, CWHBF. But Bill, let's start with an introduction. Just some background on Charlotte's Web first, please. Thank you. And thank you for taking the time here.
Yeah, sure. Pablo, thank you for having me and putting this together. The CBD industry, if nothing else, has had a lot of volatility, and 2025 so far hasn't disappointed. We are, starting with issues outside of the political ones we'll get into here in a second. We've been happy with the way our strategies are playing out this year and setting us up for the future. We, as you know, we talked about it, I think, on last earnings call, made a conscious, proactive decision to lean much more aggressively into our D2C business and reevaluate how we were approaching more of the traditional retail. We've pulled back quite a bit from the work that we were doing directly with retailers and working now primarily through third-party distribution. And the reason for that is there's just been so much uncertainty with the way the category is being regulated that it made it difficult for retailers to be committed to it. And it varied state by state. So we found that these other channels, including medical, and I'll talk to you in a second here about what I define as medical. We've got multiple tiers of it. They're more profitable, they're more stable. They allow us to develop a portfolio that addresses these consumer needs in an ongoing basis. So what we're seeing, and it's been planned, there's been a slight, downward trajectory on top line net revenue, which will recover in the coming quarters. But it's been much more profitable. And we're seeing the lift in our direct-to-consumer business on both a net revenue volume and profitability basis. So this aligns with our strategy to focus much more on profitability moving forward, which should make shareholders happy.
No, that's great. Thank you. Look, I mean, obviously, we're going to concentrate our discussion on what happened last week with executive order. But let's start first. Remind us a little bit about the CBD regulatory landscape, right? Since the 2018 Farm Bill, just to give context here. So we're talking before the CR that was signed on November 12th, and before the executive order. The world that the regulatory world that CBD has lived in the US for the last, call it 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the disappointment who of anyone of our colleagues who participate in this category, the disappointment has been that there hasn't been a follow-up to the Farm Bill at an FDA level, at a legislative level, at a regulatory level. So it's left a patchwork of various state regulations that are A, all over the place, and B, changing all the time, primarily around the levels of THC that can be part of a full spectrum product, or what emerged from, I think, the lack of regulation were these very high THC dosages from hemp-derived products, which is not the spirit of the way that the Farm Bill was drafted. But I think when there is a lack of clarity of regulation, the vacuum will be filled in some way or another. And unfortunately, it's been filled by, some players that have a different set of objectives rather than the ones that we pursue, around addressing need states and providing an alternative botanical medicine to those who need it. So, very disappointing the way that it's played out. And I think what we saw with the CR that you're referring to that came out in November was a wild pendulum swing to the other side. A much more severe set of regulations that are suboptimal at best and very frustrating.
Right. So just maybe some context for the audience here. When we talk about non-intoxicating CBD, we're talking about full spectrum CBD, broad spectrum CBD, CBD isolate. That's not even what we call, sometimes in a dispensary you'll find a one-to-one THC CBD. That's what we call, a medical cannabis or a recreational cannabis product, right? What we're talking on your side are those three categories, which is non-intoxicating CBD, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Pablo. So, if you think about it, there's with the three categories that you just laid out. So, if we go full spectrum, broad spectrum, isolate, there's no clear demarcation line in the levels of THC, say between a broad spectrum and a full spectrum. We would speak to it. A full spectrum product is taking the entire plant and all of the terpenes and cannabinoids associated with it, and it has varying amounts of THC. Our original formula, our tried and true product, the one that was used to treat Charlotte and many others since. That's working around, say, a milligram or so of THC in a 20-to-1 CBD THC ratio. That's far below the impairment levels that are defined by third parties like Johns Hopkins. Dr. Ryan Vandry, who's done a lot of the significant research in that category, would say, within a full spectrum solution, the impairment levels are below that 2.8, 3 milligrams per dosage. So we're far below that. Ours is not a product that someone would take as a recreational type of THC product. It wouldn't
Right.
make sense.
And just staying on this regulatory context before the executive order, right? And before the CR, to some extent it was like in cannabis, right? Every state has their own rules, but at least in the case of CBD, interstate trade is allowed. On the other hand, big retailers like Walmart and Amazon don't stock the product. So at the end of the day, is it federally legal or not, what I call CBD?
Yeah, right. So, according to the Farm Bill, it is federally legal according to the criteria that they set. Up to 3/10 of a percent THC by dry weight is the federally legal levels. But I think the point you're making, if it's federally legal, but you don't know how to operate nationally because every state has different criteria.
Right.
Then what is it, right? I think that's the mystery, and that's what's made it hard to the way I would frame it is, how do you scale a business that's built on a foundation of jello? You just don't know what you're going to wake up to on any given day in terms of a regulatory environment.
Right. And look, and two more questions before we move to the executive order. What's been the role of the FDA in what pertains to CBD for the last, call it 5, 7 years in this quasi-regulatory context, if we can call it that?
And that's the mystery. That's what we've been waiting on. That's what we've been pushing for, is for the FDA to come in, give it the dietary supplement regulation that precedes my participation in the category. This goes back to the Farm Bill, where before I was part of Charlotte's Web. But my understanding was there was going to be a fast follow with meaningful regulations that set the guardrails and the guidelines and the quality standards, et cetera, that has not yet arrived, you know, eight coming up on 9 years later or 8 years later. Very frustrating. But hopefully what we saw last week is the green shoots of where things are going from that regulatory perspective, and hence you see the what it's doing to the share prices.
Okay, great. Thank you. So let's jump straight in terms of to the executive order. What are your main takeaways from the December 18 executive order in what pertains to CBD, and I mean non-intoxicating CBD and non-intoxicating hemp derivatives?
Yeah, so the you know, I think some of these things are getting conflated, and there's so much happening simultaneously. You really get whiplash if you're trying to keep up with this. So maybe take a quick step back to what you were referring to before, Pablo. So you had the CR come out earlier this year that basically would eliminate the CBD industry as we know it. So they set a threshold in that continuing resolution of 0.4 milligrams of THC per container, not per dosage, per container. So that would wipe out certainly every full spectrum product and a lot more than that. It would turn the entire CBD industry really into an isolate industry, which is cause for great concern. I think, well, companies like ours will suffer, but ultimately, it's the consumer, the ones who depend on these full spectrum products as part of their wellness and health regimen would have no alternative. And that would be extraordinarily unfortunate, dare I say, irresponsible. I think it's a terrible, terrible move and a kind of a uninformed move. And we feel confident that that's going to be rectified. So you had that happen. And then, you know, not too long after that, this executive order, which just came out last week, kind of combined two different things in the way it was announced. One was the rescheduling of cannabis from class one to three drug, which I feel is the right move. It doesn't impact Charlotte's Web in any direct fashion because we don't play in the cannabis space. We're strictly a hemp-derived CBD business. But in the same announcement, they talked about the CMMI program. Which is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, and that program allowing for CBD products approved, I'm doing that in air quotes, I'll come back to that in a second, products that would be reimbursable by the federal government through the Medicare and Medicaid program for seniors suffering from cancer. So two different things. And as I understand, the executive order really applies to the rescheduling. CMMI, as part of HHS, has its own mandate to make the changes they like without executive order. They can make those changes and execute a pilot program that don't require that same executive order that rescheduled marijuana.
Right. Bill, let's. Of course, I want to discuss the pilot program in detail in terms of what we know and what you can share. But before we discuss the pilot, which, by the way, you know, it's not written in the executive order, right? It was discussed in that meeting in the Oval Office. Dr. Ross mentioned it. But I'll read you some of the things that are in the executive order, and I want you to give us your definition or your context of what they actually mean. I think I have a sense of what they mean, but it says Congress to update the statutory definition of final hemp-derived cannabinoid products to allow Americans to benefit from access to appropriate full-spectrum CBD products. That's calling on Congress to pass legislation, right? Which apparently would be in contradiction to what the CR said. But of course, you know, give us your take there on that particular point.
Yeah, and there's a lot of work happening now, Pablo, with the administration to get to a I'll frame it as a sensible solution to hemp-derived products and what level of THC can exist that is safe and efficacious. And I think what you're reading there is in response to what I would categorize was an overreach by the CR. So now there's been a step back to whoa, 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 whoa. We've got a whole lot of folks that are dependent upon these full spectrum products, and an even larger audience that hasn't experienced them yet because of the lack of regulatory clarity. Even anecdotally, people that I talk to are wildly confused that I know would benefit from our products because they may live in a state where it's highly restrictive, or they've read about a state that's restricting it. So ultimately, from my perspective, forgetting about the financial benefit to our company, but just what's right for Americans in healthcare is we get to a place where there's an accepted definition of full spectrum that the state's preemptive rights are kind of aligned with the federal standard, where we don't have the patchwork anymore, where we can have a common understanding of what full spectrum is and how that can be sold throughout the country.
Right. And to be clear, that idea of Congress to update the statutory definition of final hemp-derived cannabinoid products, does that require a bill? Of course, right? Or is, I mean, because it sounds like it's just updating the definition, but that requires a bill to be passed by the House and the Senate. Or am I
That's
getting
correct.
it wrong? Okay.
That's
That's
correct. And you see it, there's bills that have been proposed and are being modified both in the House and the Senate, the Wyden and the Griffiths bill,
right.
that we're hopeful will land in a really smart, logical place.
Right. And to be clear, when we say the Wyden and Griffiths bill, we're talking about the same bill, or they are two different versions.
There are two different ones, but hopefully we can get a synchronization of the spirit of each.
Okay. Now, sticking to the EO, right? Because there's a lot of things, other things we want to discuss here, but in terms of the CO language, the EO language, it says also consultation with appropriate executive departments and agencies and authorities to develop a regulatory framework for hemp-derived cannabinoid products. I suppose that's also part of this bill, right? Or not necessarily. That's something that an agency would come out with a framework, the FDA would come out with a framework. Because in the past, the FDA has, passed the ball back to Congress, right? So I'm just trying to understand on this specific point, in terms of what the EO says, is this also another way to call on Congress to pass legislation to develop that regulatory framework?
I think different administrations, different approaches. It's been punted around by basically every administration in my recent memory. Some have shoveled it over to the FDA because they didn't want to deal with it from a legislative perspective, and others have lobbed it back to Congress. What we're seeing now, I think, is the executive branch stepping in a firm, defined way, saying we want this resolved, and we're going to pursue every path available to us. So you're seeing the administration put pressure on the legislative bodies, but also taking proactive action through executive order. And I don't know the machinations of how the government works, but it looks like there's pressure being applied at the FDA level through HHS. This seems like something that the secretary at HHS, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is pushing, and something that he thinks is important.
Right. Look, I'm here. I want to ask you, it's sort of a legal question, right? But and maybe it's not for us to answer, but in the case of the EO, it's calling for, the executive branch to reschedule cannabis, medical cannabis, right? And in that case, the DOJ will write a final resolution, a final bill, final resolution that will get published in the Federal Register, and it will go through the regulatory process, a statutory process that's stipulated in the CSA. So in the case of the route for medical cannabis to be rescheduled, we know exactly how it's going to work. But in the case of what they're always saying about Congress and CBD, Congress is an independent entity, right? It's a separate branch
Right.
of the government, right? So it's
Right.
like I mean, people can speculate whether Pam Bondi is going to come out with a final resolution in 5 days, a month, or 6 months. But in the case of CBD, I guess they're always telling Congress, get this done, but it may or may not happen. I mean, what do you think are the odds here?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the question you've posed, the whatever, the greater than $1 million question.
Okay. Okay.
I think this is an example of the executive branch using its bully pulpit to influence Congress to, quote unquote, do the right thing. I mean, that's been the language that I've heard in some form or another to get this done. But in the interim, they're leveraging the power to deploy things like a pilot program to demonstrate how important CBD as a health protocol can be. So we're looking at it as a parallel path.
Right.
And from my perspective, if I was to weigh where I put my energy and my emphasis, we can do work to try and influence the decision makers and the various legislative and regulatory bodies. But what I can really action is ensuring that a pilot program, whatever form it comes, is going to be successful as it possibly can be, because that just adds weight to the argument that we need these products available and accessible. And right now, the biggest barrier to access is the lack of clarity of regulations.
Right. And before we go to the pilot program, does this bill that the EO is calling for to be done, right, for Congress to pass, even if that bill hasn't been passed, the pilot program could go ahead, right? And I don't want to get into a pilot program yet, but I'm just saying, can the pilot program start if Congress hasn't passed a, let's call it a CBD bill?
100%. So the pilot program is independent of the legislation,
Okay. All right. All right.
totally independent. So the pilot program, all systems go, that's moving forward. And then legislation is, I think any commercial or political interests would be in the same place. Like, oh, for the love of God, can you get your act together, Congress, and pass whatever?
Okay.
But these are two independent things.
Look, and I know that these things are somewhat vague, so we cannot be too precise, right? But I don't know if you want to make any comments within the distinctions between the Griffiths bill and the Wyden bill. That's one question. And then the second one, this call on Congress in the EO language is really about CBD, right? There's nothing there
Yes,
that people would say, well, they are calling on Congress to regulate intoxicating hemp derivatives. That's not what this is about. But just please remind people about the distinction there in terms of what the EO is calling for. Because someone could be worried that the bill could become messy because it's touching on too many different things. Delta-9 drinks, intoxicating hemp derivatives. I mean, the bill is really about CBD, but you tell me.
yeah, no, that's right. And I don't know. I don't know where it's going to land. Ultimately, it comes down to, when I say land, in terms of the levels of hemp-derived THC that will be quote unquote acceptable
Right.
in either bill, right? In Wyden or Griffiths. I think really what we're, if you distill it down to its core, that's the key issue. And then the access, is it 21 and over? What channels can it be distributed through, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't begrudge these representatives for doing what they think is responsible. What you'll hear is these things have quote unquote gotten out of hand. You've got very high dosages of hemp-derived THC products that are sold in convenience stores and gas stations, on and on. That certainly was not the spirit of the Farm Bill. That was not its intention. And so what we're hopeful is that it comes to a place where our full spectrum products will still be allowed and sold in a responsible way to us. But with that, we want there to be standards around quality, around how the product has to be manufactured, the traceability from seed to in whatever form it comes out. Like that, it sounds a little bit self-serving because that's what we were built for, but we built it for that because we wanted it to be done responsibly. So ultimately, that's where we'd like to see it land. Let's see what the coming weeks and months bring us.
And again, before we go to the pilot, there's also something else in the executive order, the way I read it, about increasing CBD research. Or I don't know if they are talking about increasing medical cannabis research. And I know the EO, some people may see that CBD and medical cannabis are being used interchangeably, almost as synonyms. Of course, that's not their intention, I'm sure. But this call for more CBD research, to my knowledge, there's a lot of CBD research out there already. Your company itself, the Stanley Brothers, have a lot of it. But I don't know if you want to touch on that in terms of the executive order calling for increasing CBD research, or it's really more about medical cannabis research, in your opinion, that they're talking about.
Pablo, I think that was one of the things that got conflated in the way it was announced, because it's really around the rescheduling allows for more cannabis research.
Right.
Now it's opened that door. CBD research has not been constrained
Correct.
before, and this doesn't open it up to more. We've been doing our thing, you know, since the get-go.
Got it. Thank you. So now let's move on to the pilot. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, the way in my opinion, there's nothing in the executive order language about the pilot program, right? But obviously, Dr. Oz, I think, discussed it in that meeting in the Oval Office. And you made, I think, you have a press release also talking about that pilot program. I'm just trying to understand, I guess, how official is the pilot program? Do we know what it looks like, or it's still a bit up in the air? And maybe up in the air is not the right way to characterize it because they've talked about it and you have issued a press release on it. But yeah.
So, and it is you're right to be confused because it's both of the things you just said. It's been announced. It's happening. Dr. Oz said it. He gave the timing of it.
Right.
We're still awaiting the details. So the official program, the CMMI program, has not been published. So I have speculation, you know, based on some of the work that we did to support the Commonwealth project, of where it's going, but I haven't seen it in print, and that's really what we're waiting for, and we anticipate it anytime now.
Right. But based on what they said, right, it's supposed to start in April. It would cover seniors. It would cover only certain conditions. It seems oncology related. But I guess what I'm saying, all these things, I mean, correct, because we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. We don't know how many companies are going to be involved. We don't know whether it's going to be covered by Medicare and Medicaid. I guess what I'm asking is, what can you say in terms of what we know exactly about the pilot at the moment?
Let me share a couple of, let me share with you the definitives, and I can share with you more the speculative,
Right.
and then the unknowns. So starting with the definitives, what was announced, and it kind of sequenced, and I can't remember the precise timing, but you know, prior to last Thursday, there was an announcement that was made around CMMI, so Center for Medicare Medicaid Innovation, going to deploy a program in first quarter of 2027 that would allow for the reimbursement of for seniors of CBD products. And it was basically that. It said this is going to happen beginning in Q1 of 2027. It didn't define specific conditions or need states or cohorts within that senior population covered by Medicare. What then followed last Thursday in the EO announcement, but it's kind of disassociated from that, was this CMMI pilot program. So it's a pilot that launches in April of 26 that will precede this broader program of undefined need states for seniors in, let's call it a year later in Q1 of 27, right?
Right.
So two different things. I don't know any of the detail around the 2027 program other than what was published. For the 2026 program, in April that Dr. Oz talked about, again, this is somewhat speculation because it isn't printed, but I can only tell you the conversations that we've had, is that program is a pilot, meaning, small scale. It's intended to test results across a continuum. So, do physicians buy into the concept that this is something that they're going to recommend to their patients? Do patients use it? Do patients have a good experience? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the essence of the pilot that launches in April. One key thing to keep in mind here. So CMMI, within that category, there's a program called the EOM, the Enhancing Oncology Model. Okay. This is for physicians opt into that. And these physicians are allotted a certain amount of money per month, per year to apply to their patients. And they can be, they're typically new protocols, new modalities that they want to test. And see if it brings comfort, et cetera. This pilot program for CBD within CMMI in 2026 is confined to this EOM program. So the only folks participating are these oncology practices that are part of the EOM. So that's what this is about in 2026.
Right. Look, I'm going to ask a follow-up, but only answer if you can and if we have the information. Last week I hosted a call on what's called the Dutch pilot, right? And there it's very simple. It's a pilot where 72 coffee shops in 10 cities are selling licensed, safe, tested, regulated product. But that's like 12% of all the coffee shops in Holland, right? So in that case, I can very clearly quantify the size of a pilot versus the size of a broader program. Here, in the case of CBD, you've talked about UEM, and I appreciate that color there. Can you help us try to quantify from how little the pilot would be to how bigger the broader program would be? I mean, just roughly, if we can, just trying to quantify, size up the market opportunity if we can, but maybe it's getting ahead of ourselves here, but go on.
No, it's fair question, Pablo. So here's what we know. Well, let me just real quickly say, this is a work in process for us to define the TAM, the total addressable market, within the pilot and how we're going to approach it. The EOM component, we were aware, wasn't really clear until very recently that it was going to be strictly to that in 2026. Here's what we understand it to be. So there are thousands of oncology practices that participate in EOM. So it's not dozens, it's not hundreds. It's something greater from, again, don't quote me on this because I'm not, we're still trying to figure it out, but it's more than 1,000 and it's less than many thousands, right? And assuming certain number of patients per practice, you're talking about something that's probably greater than 20,000-30,000 potential participants, and something less than hundreds of thousands of potential participants. But we'll get more clarity on that very quickly. The way an EOM program works is you, as a provider of products or services, are not permitted to target the end consumer or the patient. You work through a physician, and the physician will then make the recommendation to the patient. So we'll be working directly with the doctors who are part of the EOM to basically educate them and get them comfortable with using the products that we provide for the need states that an oncology patient would experience.
Right. And maybe at the risk of oversimplifying, when the program is broadened, in early 2027, the way it would be broadened is because it would cover more conditions, or you know, again, how would it be broadened in your opinion in terms of what we're
Yeah,
talking
no, you're spot on. So, there's what, 67 or so million people covered by Medicare and Medicaid. There's a much smaller percentage of that are dealing with cancer. So, the program in 27 would, from what we understand, goes to all seniors. We now have access to it.
Right.
For better or worse, I'm rapidly approaching Medicare eligibility age. I know what I experience. So it's sleep, it's pain, various levels of calmness and anxiety. The needs of seniors align almost perfectly with what CBD does and what it does to the endocannabinoid system to help solve for these issues. So it's almost like it's a perfect convergence. It's what it should have been in 2018. It's coming late, but it's coming.
Okay, no, that's great color. I appreciate all that, Bill, here. So, look, I'm gonna move the discussion, but it's really the same topic. Is that, to my knowledge, most of the CBD product that is sold out there today is not RX prescribed, right? Other than Epidiolex, which is for a rare type of epilepsy, that's the only RX prescribed CBD product. So, when we're
That's
talking
right.
about this pilot program and we're talking about the EOM program or the program, the pilot being broadened in early 2027. Are we talking about RX CBD or are we talking about something else? If you can clarify that.
Great. That's a great question. So let me, to contextualize it, let me share with you what our medical strategy is and has been. So we segment Charlotte's Web Medical into three tiers. The first tier is for integrative medicine, and this is a business that we've had for, I don't know, six years or so. So this gets into the natural medicine category, and it can include chiropractors, massage therapists, a broad range of integrative doctors. We have a product portfolio that we provide to them, they provide to their patients. And for us, that's a big market segment that we currently work with and we see a tremendous amount of upside in. The second is this newly emerging one, which is doctors having the ability to recommend it to their patients, but it's not an FDA authorized drug. Okay, so it kind of exists in a bit of a limbo. And then the third tier is an FDA drug, which we're pursuing through our relationship with DeFloria, of which we're an equity holder. And you're familiar with DeFloria, Pablo. They're going down the FDA pathway. They're getting ready to enter phase two clinical trials. That would be a prescribed drug, to your language there, an RX drug that would require a prescription by a physician. And the DeFloria pathway is for the irritability associated with autism spectrum disorder, but we envision many applications for that prescribed drug. So our strategic vision is for us to be the lead player across each one of those. So one that requires no prescription and does not require an MD's recommendation on the integrative side. The second tier is for a licensed medical practitioner to do it without FDA. They can recommend it and it can be reimbursed by the federal government. And then the third is a RX prescribed drug. So we're across that entire medical ecosystem.
Right. So look, I mean, back in 2019, when there were these big expectations about the CBD industry and the market expanding, We used to talk about Amazon, Walmart, most mass market retailers adopting the category, entering and selling CBD. They do not at present. But for example, and again, maybe this is too detailed, but so say a senior in the pilot program, rough, going through oncology treatment, it's recommended by his doctor, EOAM program, to have CBD. He or she could go to an Amazon or a Walmart to buy it, and it would be covered by Medicaid and Medicare as part of a pilot. Or no, he couldn't go to Amazon and Walmart because we still don't have the Griffiths or Wyden bill that have made it federally legal for those retailers to enter the category. Here's where we start, trying to mix the two things. But what can you say to that?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. I mean, this is where it gets quite confusing, right? So you could see a world, hopefully it's not this one, where in a few months from now, there's a set of products that are reimbursed by the federal government, but will be constrained on their availability.
And will be even illegal under the CR, but go on, right? Well, I mean, that's November 2026, actually. Not yet, but yeah, go on. Sorry, yeah, right.
Well, that's another good question. We're still not crystal clear on what products will be allowed within CMMI. Will it include full spectrum, or will it be according to the CR language? So that's TBD as well. We're waiting for to get published. I feel optimistic that it will include full spectrum, but let's see. So again, what are we doing? We're controlling the controllables. We're upgrading our direct to consumer experience so that it's fully HIPAA compliant. So physicians or their patients can feel very comfortable coming in. Their data will be protected, and we'll transact in a way because we can ship direct to consumer, anywhere in the country that it's allowed. So we'll accommodate the pilot. People will have a place to come and shop. But moving forward, it would be very unfortunate, to say the least, that if we're going into like 2027 and it's these products are being reimbursed through Medicare and Medicaid for all seniors, that they could only come to a direct-to-consumer website, would that be a bit of a failing, right? Like that's not how this should be.
And in terms of a pilot, and I don't know if we know this, is a pilot going to allow CBD products from only certain companies, or is it going to be like unbranded, just go and buy whatever you can find online, or do we know that?
So what I understand is that only a few, us being one, very, very small number, have been accepted into the program. There was no formal application, and there hasn't been any formal acceptance. But this is thus far. There's only been, smaller than a handful have been participating. As I understand it, moving forward is the oncology practices will be given a criteria by which they should select whether they work with a product provider or not. So it'll say things like they need to have the following quality standards, they need to verify the following information, their website has to protect if it's a D2C information, medical information, et cetera, et cetera. So still a bit unclear, but it's starting to emerge of how the pilot's going to flow. And I think at a minimum, the CMMI will advise the participants in the EOM, you only want to work with folks that meet this criteria.
Right, understood. Look, just moving the discussion now, going back to a CR, that banned hemp derivatives effective November 12, 2026. What's your best prognostication in terms of how things will play out? I mean, will it be postponed for another year and it doesn't become effective until November 2027, like punting, like they have punted the 2023 Farm Bill? Or, change as soon as end of January 2026? Will there be carve-outs? I mean, I know we are here, it's a crystal ball question, but or potential for joint legislation in Congress, right, for these products. But what's your best prediction in terms of how the CR, the ban plays out?
And this is, this is me as a civilian just taking my best guess at it. I would say, and I, there's a difference between where I think it's going to go and my optimism, and sometimes I can't distinguish between the two. But I'm hopeful that for the pilot program, there will be a carve out for full spectrum products. And I say that because if you want to get a true assessment of the program in a pilot, if you start to limit what you can distribute, then you've artificially influenced the results before the pilot started. So I remain optimistic, hopeful, confident that there'll be a carve out for the pilot
Right.
in
And sorry to
20.
interrupt you there. I mean, and just on that point, and that would have to happen before April.
Exactly.
Right.
That's right. And it, CMMI has much more leeway in what they can do than what's proposed for a broader audience. So within CMMI, they've got a much stronger mandate to do things quickly. So I envision that. And then, yeah.
CMMI, I'm sorry to look. I mean, again, don't answer if it's, but CMMI has the power, but I mean, it's something that has to be legislated by Congress, right?
CMMI can operate with a great level of independence. It's, it's in their name. So the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, they can propose innovative programs on a limited scale
Right.
and evaluate. I mean, part of participating in EOM, it's not just that you get an allotment of money that you can deploy. They have to keep detailed records, these physicians, and submit them back into EOM to see is it working? Are there negative down, not just our program, any program that they deploy? What are the negative downsides? Are there contraindications with other medications? What are you seeing? Help us understand so that we know, should we expand it? Should we continue to test it? Should we do pilot 2.0 or full scalability? So it's truly a like a living, breathing kind of clinical trial is the wrong word, but you know where I'm going. It's like
Sure.
in real time. So
Sure.
CMMI can do things outside of the legislative process
Look,
in a more.
understood. And again, going back to the prognostication question, if you want to add any other color regarding how the CR.
So then there's the other two issues, right? So I envision the pilot going in a way that's meaningful. Beyond that, I mean, what I'm going to say is contrary to the way things usually play out. The cans typically kick down the road with difficult decisions. We see that across the board in our legislative world. I think. I hope we're in a different place now. This has been bantered about for a very long time, 7, 8 years since the Farm Bill. We're at a place, there's a lot of science, a lot of studies, through the NIH, through Hopkins, through a myriad of research institutions and governmental organizations and institutions. I'm hopeful now that we can, prior to November of next year, we land in a place with a bill that solves for what I think are just small elements that need to be resolved in order for everyone to get comfortable.
Got it.
So I
Thank
think
you.
we land there.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you for that color. Look, I know we're running out of time. I'm going to just read some brief questions here from some are coming by email. Just brief answers. How does the executive order and potential regulatory changes around CBD impact your overseas markets or the way you're thinking about those markets, if at all? I mean, obviously, I know these are US rules, but do you see that having a knock-on effect in other markets, and would that create opportunities for Charlotte's Web overseas?
I believe so, right? I think like Tangentially, what we know is there are many countries around the world that look to see what happened in the US and use that as a proxy for how they should be thinking about it. I mean, one of the countries that's to me most frustrating is Japan, that has set absurdly low limits of THC content, and a population that struggles with all the things that we address. So I've had many inquiries from Japan, from distributors, from people that would seek to import our products. And we've had to say no, because we can't hit, in some cases, if it's ingestible, it's less than one part per million THC. It's not even measurable. There's not equipment that can do it. Of all the places, I'd love to see them lighten that restriction, and maybe we can be a beacon for them as a country to change their regs.
Right. Another question, where are you personally yourself in the Oval Office in that meeting last Thursday, and or anyone else related to Charlotte's Web or representing the CBD cause specifically?
Yeah, I think my invitation got lost in the mail, but we did have Paige Figi, Charlotte's mom, an important part of our Charlotte's Web family, was there. If you look at the photos, she was off the right-hand shoulder. She actually got a pen from the signing, so she was there. And then Howard Kessler, the founder and head of the Commonwealth Project, was there as well, and we've worked closely with Howard. So it was surreal to see my two friends there with the president.
Of course. And look, I mean, I'll continue with the questions here for the audience. Anecdotally, the reason I got into this business, almost 10 years ago, has a lot to do with a TED talk given by one of the Stanley brothers, in which Charlotte Figi and other children are featured. That TED talk is about a 45-minute video. I would encourage people watching it. And it talks about all the benefits of these products. But it's a reason I'm doing this for the last 10 years, because I was very impacted by that presentation. Look, another question here, Bill. Can you remind us of the role BAT plays in Charlotte's Web? And also, two-part question, and the role of Stanley Brothers in Charlotte's Web, if at all.
Sure. Yeah. So BAT provided significant financing back in, I think it was 2021, through a convertible note. So they put in, I think at the end it was $57 million in a convertible note to help fund the business. So they're a significant shareholder, and they also put money in multiple tranches into DeFloria to get that business off the ground. So we have frequent contact with the folks at BAT. They provide great guidance. They're very committed to looking at ways of pivoting their business from what's been a, as we know, a traditional tobacco business into more wellness oriented opportunities. And yeah, they've been a fantastic partner. The Stanley brothers, so Jared and Joel in particular, Jared and Joel, founders of Charlotte's Web. Joel was the first CEO of the company. And I mean, I can't lay enough accolades on those two guys and their vision and what they've been able to accomplish. Joel then went on to create Ajna Biosciences, with which us, CW, and BAT are partners in that business. So the three of us own the majority share of what then became called DeFloria, which is going down this FDA investigative new drug pathway. So we work together closely on DeFloria. And then Jared, who was a longtime employee, senior executive within Charlotte's Web, now sits on our board of directors. And I, again, the knowledge that both Jared and Joel bring understanding the science behind CBD, the cultivation, the regulatory environment. I lean on both of them quite a bit. Their institutional knowledge, I think, is the creme de la creme in this category.
I agree. One last question. Someone asking, how does executive order impact the Floria? I mean, obviously, that's going through an FDA regulatory process, which is separate, right? But is there a halo effect that could help the Floria from the executive order, or not? They are just unrelated processes.
Again, kind of tangentially. So the drug that DeFloria is developing is a CBD drug. So it's not a cannabis drug, if you will. So this doesn't change that. But they've got a portfolio of cannabis drugs, among others, that they're pursuing. So I think the wider the aperture becomes on the ability to be unconstrained or restrained on research and development supports the direction that they're going, and their ability to collaborate with other parties that now have a broader opening to doing their research. So net net, it's a positive. I don't think directly, but certainly tangentially.
No, that's good. Thank you, Bill. Look, I know we're here already on the hour. Thank you very much to our audience that listened through Stream, Twitter, and other platforms and Zoom. And Bill, thank you to you, of course, for giving us all this color here, and congratulations on all the progress the company's making. And all the opportunities that could come because of this executive order. But any closing remarks on your side? Thank you on your side.
No, well, first of all, Pablo, thank you. Always good to spend time with you. Appreciate you pulling this together. Look, my final statement on this is I can't overstate how important what happened last week is. This is the first time in the history of this business that we have the federal government stepping in and saying, at minimum by default, that there is strong efficacy in what CBD can provide to people in need. So much so that we're willing to reimburse them for these products through Medicare and Medicaid. And I think it's a watershed moment, for lack of a better word, for care for seniors in America. There's an article you can take a look in the Wall Street Journal this morning. How over-medicated our seniors are. It was really timely. I was looking at this before we jumped on the call, and I think the way I just read it, so I didn't commit all this to memory, but I think it was like one in six seniors on Medicare are currently receiving through prescription like eight medications simultaneously. This is the moment for botanicals. This is the moment for a natural solution to problems that we know we can solve for, that are non-addictive, that are very safe, that are highly efficacious, that can change lives. So I feel like the planets are finally aligning to where we can do the good that we always wanted to.
And in the case of CBD, non-intoxicating also.
Precisely. Precise. Thank you. Yep.
All right. No, that's great. Bill, thank you very much again. Thanks to the audience. Happy holidays, everyone. Everyone, have a good day. Thanks.
Take care, Pablo.